Hi, I'm Martin, a latte-sipping, chattering class hippie with a recorder. But I'm not alone, and the chatter is a bit noisy at times, but you know, that's life, or should I say live. The topics are common around the world, and you'll be hearing Helmut Graham and myself. Welcome to Kaput Radio Outdoors. I always hear this expression, the two-speed economy. There's a bit something wrong here, you know. I mean, if we had only two lanes to drive on, we would at least need a proper vehicle with real wheels to drive, you know. But instead, we're offered this metaphor of two speeds, lanes, two-speed economy, whereas, but to me, reality shows there's an infinite number of lanes possible, from driving a Jag or a Ferrari or Maserati or Porsche or something, or a really super-duper top-end high-speed, all to the way down to peasant walking, which, because vehicles are not fast enough.
Okay, well, any speed you like,
well,
in particular?
The highest speed people are complaining it's only two lanes available, but I think the planet's got, I mean, there's places in Africa, I believe, they don't even have vehicles to drive, they have to walk.
So do they have two-speed walking lanes?
No, well, 5 kilometers speed limit, something. Pedestrian speed. Pedestrians. Yeah. That's all it is.
Well, it depends.
They can have a reason to complain, I'd say, you know. But our retailers here, Dick Smith and Harvey Norman, they should shut up, you know. Just to
be talking about the two-speed economy, are
yeah,
you?
They're slightly slower than the Porsches and Maseratis and Mercedes-Benzes, but it's only slightly slower. But people like in Burundi or somewhere in Sierra Leone, you know, they have not even vehicles, they have pedestrian speed maximum.
Is that in Victoria, Sierra Leone, is it? Or no?
Yes, somewhere, not far away.
Not far away.
Tyrolean,
yes.
I do understand. And so there's multiple lanes, did you say, or multiple lanes?
Multiple. You got it.
Thank you, Chris.
And, of course, they have to come in succession. Once you touch the first one, you're committed to the next one, like Greece is now, you know. I mean, they're going to be given the third bailout soon.
Oh, yes, but I mean, you've got to have the next one waiting in the wings.
You know, exactly.
In the wings,
yeah,
which, of course, would be Spain? Or?
That's certainly at least 20 lanes down in speed than compared with our two-speed kind of thing, you know. The model we have is way up there, you know, way up.
So, yes, in the fast lane... What happens?
The Germans are in the fast lane. Would they be in the fast lane, the Germans?
Well, the fast lane, you need fast computer trading programs. That's what the fast lane mainly consists of, I believe. And have eagle eyes on the screen.
And
automatic software which triggers things.
So you've got the others in the slow lane. Do the people in the fast lane ever help out,
They're supposed
to tow them along.
They're supposed to be. I mean, that's what we're told.
Yeah.
And they're trying to sort of make demonstrative policies, all these different countries, in order to prove it or to show the population that they're doing something about this imbalance, what you're hinting at. But, yeah. I mean,
you can't have the slow lane dragging the...
Exactly, that's what I think. I mean, to have anything below us... Fast lane doesn't make any sense economically.
It doesn't. Not if you've got slow lanes actually dragging, the drag behind...
The slipstream. Exactly. And that's why you have to have just a vehicle at least as good, just short of Formula One size or something, you know.
So would you see Germany, the slipstream, like Greece sort of slipping in behind
Not just
Germany.
Greece, there's a lot of tail, what do you call it, tailing,
in the slow lane, not so fast lane. Well, I can understand. It's really a complicated business, this.
That is true. Anyway, I want just to sort of point this out. It's like a misconception about two-speed economies, you know. It's much more than that.
And they're now talking about a two, to currency line, early speed.
Parallel, in a parallel lane for a different currency. But I mean, I think I heard about this. The golden mark got to be introduced, apparently, for those countries who can't deal with the euro. Now, that's silly. They expect to have an exchange rate between the two. But if you cannot actually, I mean, you can make any number of parallel currencies, but you still have to compete with the official, with the euro, as long as it exists and it's in legal tender, isn't it?
Well, it seems to me to be just far too complicated. I think they'll have to do some, talking about slipstream, they'll have to do some streamlining of the whole thing, because
that means taking regulations away again.
Efficiency.
So you can make the whole turn for the next bubble. The next build-up to a bubble. You need the J-curve. Paul Keating was always referring to. Remember the J-curve economy? It went down, 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 but he said, look, let's get accelerated, and then it goes like a J up again, you know, but it never did. Well, only debt went up like mad.
Yeah.
Black holes started appearing.
Something similar to a bell curve.
I can see those angels want to rescue me.
Thought there was no love lost. I don't remember my folks being together. They went separate ways cause I guess they were fed up. Sent me back and forth like a ping pong ball. Never quite sure what to draw from it all. Deep doubts filled me from instability. But to survive I derived versatility. Mom was out the back, whacking up smack. With my stepdad who had big black tracks. The size of 5 cents, life was a mess. Living with age fans, trapped in fake claims. They both tried but only mom stayed clean. And still kept us living in a difficult predicament. I used to beg her to cut off the dead weight. Get your bent head straight, then we can levitate.
I've learned to survive. I've had broken ties. I've heard every lie. It's the way to arrive. The game has been hard. It's left me in scars.
Twisting the system, living like a jackal in the marijuana capital. Rolling like a boulder with a brick on my shoulder. Hanging with my bros, Luke Rudge and OG. Roaming the zone with kids of drug dealers. They puffed skunk and got so drunk. Wicked little monks who love to run amok. Ducking from the pigs who lusted to bust off. Cuff us, thrust us, they couldn't touch us. We made a team of drug running thugs. Coming from the carnival's jungle for the funds. On the main street there was man competition. But no patience, deep desperation. For these years we made it with jaded eyes on the prize, never severing ties.
Like, economics is fascinating, really, but when you put it that way, it is fascinating.
And,
I think they're doing the best they possibly can.
Oh, yeah, they're asking for Asian language involvement in schools now from the opposition, from the conservative side of politics. And I looked at the leader, Mr. Tony Abbott is his name, by the way. I looked at him and I thought, well, what he should ask for are better manners and mannerism. That'd be helpful, regardless what language your student learns. Because no good to say. Someone who's barely, you know, capable of impressing anybody with a half-crossed-eyedness, a shadow foreign minister going to Indonesia demanding that they take the refugees which want to come to Australia. That's a bit, you know, that's a bit thick. And so this poor person, she tried the best she could, but unfortunately has sort of, you know, botched surgery at childhood when she was still cross-eyed, prevented the future career to really succeed in these matters, and got sent home. It's outrageous. We're not going to stand up for your refugee problem, what Jakarta said.
So they sent her home.
say.
Yeah, well, it's a send someone who's not half cross-eyed, you know.
Try and produce it with radio.
And has some manners.
Well, they always say that the safest way to cross over anything is to look both ways. And a cross-eyed person can do that without shifting his head.
Like these flies with their 2,000 lenses. They're almost 360 degree vision, don't they? They can see underhanded attacks from the back, backstabbings. They can detect all that stuff early. Now, I just wonder what's going to happen when we have this situation that Mediterranean countries are trying to falling off the flat earth of the economic world, or rather their flat economic world thinking, whether they wake up to something.
Well, it might be something to do with the climate. Not the economic climate, but the financial climate. Around the Mediterranean, things are pretty hot.
Mm.
And it slows down the economy, slows down
the
industry.
It's very hard to tighten belts in the heat.
Oh, in fact, they like to take the belt off altogether and let the air flow through.
There are nude colonies all over the place, I've heard. But anyway, it's clear to me, you know, that the recent, Landtag, state election in Germany, in North Rhine-Westphalia, which is an indicator for the general German election coming next year, will show a trend change, and that goes together with the election of François Hollande as French president recently. And it goes along with all these screams for austerity doesn't work, stop it. You know? So that's the interesting thing for me to see. What does that mean? Austerity is not a policy. Austerity is an outcome, isn't it? It's a result of something else failing.
I don't know. You know, I think it's something they've dragged up from the past. It's in the psyche somewhere where they're told that to save money, not to spend, never spend more than you have, and don't borrow. They were told that the best way is to save up if you wanted to buy something. You save it up for it. And so saving.
Yeah. Why doesn't Dick Smith and Harvey Norman stand up and say it's utter nonsense, you should spend it?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
well, they would say that. It's
you would have to unlearn the previous edicts.
That's pretty tricky. You know.
It is, because it's in the psyche. And austerity was good.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to teach new tricks to old dogs. And therefore we have to go through all this pain and craziness and right-wing and left-wing extremism.
They think that, well, the way out of it will be if we... Well, obviously spending has been a problem. So we'll go back to, what else? They haven't got a clue what else. So we'll go back to austerity. That always worked in the past. It didn't work in the present.
I mean, it sort of becomes also an issue in the U.S. election, this sort of perceived ideological divide there. Class war is even mentioned in this parliament now. That's why I'm sort of interested to see. But, I mean, you could sort of say for me as a voter, I sort of summing it all up for me, it is I have the choice between the conservative side, which tells me, look, mate, this glass of water is half empty, you can't have any, you know. And the other side, the Labour side, they tell me, look, mate, don't cheer up. There's a glass of half full of water, man, you know. And I'm saying, well, I can't reach it. I said, look, you should cheer up. It's half full.
I think that philosophy would probably go down very well because people tend to believe anything.
Well, I'm sick to death of hearing bad stuff about this town and all those outside people who want to put us down. I need to urgently remember that their opinion stands for naught. If they can't say something positive, well, then we need to take a walk. proud of the way that things have gone. And to all you outside knockers, I dedicate this song. Yeah, Nimbin people are proud of their little town. And all you want to do is put us down. Shiny four-wheel drives with your fat little kids and your stuck-up wives. And you drive real slow down Cullen Street. And you're too scared to park once you've seen all the freaks. But once you get up the nerve, you go for a walk. And someone says g'day, but you're too afraid to talk. And some kid offers you some weed and you don't know what he means. And you're pretty damn sure that this ain't your scene. And you sneak a quick peek down Rainbow Lane. You don't go down there just the same. And you don't know where to eat. It's also damn dirty. We better get grandma home, it's nearly 2:30. Now you're an expert on Nimbin Town. You're perfectly qualified to put us down. You've been here 5 minutes. You think you know the score. You think you're superior, but you're just a fucking bore.
I think it's a really interesting problem, this what's happening politically, because clearly, I mean, they're coming from different corners, really. I mean, one basically holds the view that the way out of our problems are through redistribution of wealth, somehow. The others say we must have growth. Yeah. Now, certainly the growth one is flawed. Mm-hmm. So in the long run... he's no choice at all. The Libs aren't any choice because they're based on a fallacious paradigm. Labour, I think, has simply lost sight of the fact why they're there.
Local Labour. But a worldwide trend, I think, is interesting. What's your opinion on the trend today of two boxes in a ring? And
two doctors.
Boxes. In a boxing ring. And they're called to come together in the centre and listen to the rules. And I saw the left and the right come so close to the centre that the left was almost over the centre and so forth. And now those two boxes back to your corners. There's a divide going on, and Obama seems to be actually being brave enough to come out and proclaim his leftist views to the world. I'm for gay marriage, I'm for public health and all the rest of it. Whereas the right guys are gay. Yeah, he's...
Mitt Romney says, I believe a marriage is between a man and 48 women. Or he could have said, perhaps. I'm absolutely not agreeable to a marriage of a man and other 48 men.
The way he said that, you could hear the 48 women.
It's a blueprint for Tony Abbott.
He was so clear between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
One man. Yeah. And one woman. Oh. Now, the emphasis on that one made it clear that everybody's thinking of the Mormons and their multiple wives.
Bitching households, screaming toddlers and kids in the backdrop where you go nuts and want to become gay voluntarily.
Now, you can see Greece, Spain, Italy, France, all going to the left.
To no avail. Look at the most Marxist argument you could put forward. Is Marxism gets taught in schools in China, and yet we have a Chinese bank opening banks in America, in Wall Street. A couple of others. The Americans want to do the same in China soon. So this is where your global finance disregards all these ideologies. Karl Marx, I mean, he must have been a complete financial failure because he was... bloody shit poor he was mouse poor. He had no idea how to manage finances.
No, but his mate, who went along with everything he said and said a few things of his own, which was Engels, was very wealthy. Well, there you get this coming together.
But I don't think this is just. I think this is just the beginning in Greece of a very major change.
But I mean, I'm looking at it international.
Yeah.
And I can see a trend.
A trend.
Yeah. You may mean that Obama gets back in. Julia Roberts, Julia something or other gets back in here.
The Gillard.
Oh, you mean a political trend? You mean in terms of labour and
class? It's still ideological.
Yeah. It's still absolutely ideological.
But it is.
You think it's a drift to the left?
Yeah, no, this way. Yeah. I've got to modify that. What I said. It's more of a shift, and the gap is widening. In between the left and the right.
More of a polarisation.
I think the left is the Greens and Labour. I don't know. Labour and Liberal are much the same.
But people are trying to get to say, I'm this and this, and it's far away from the centre. This is what you're
thinking. No, well, when you've got a thing like austerity versus spending. You can't really say that they're close or they are completely divided. There is a split down the middle.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty Marxian sort of a approach. In other words, you get two extremes in opposition. There's a conflict, as there appears to be, between the left and the right, and out of that conflict supposedly emerges a new sort of paradigm. Maybe that's what we're seeing.
I'm just putting it out as a possibility.
Birthplace of civilization. I mean, it may yet come up with something.
I wouldn't be surprised if we had, at the end of this month, we had Mark Latham turning up.
But I reckon
we would feel buoyed by what's going on. I mean, the openness now of this class warfare set against Wayne's class bomber boxing, punching match,
Get up there and sock that
small Wayne Swanson against big bully Palmer. Not shots, Wayne.
I think it's just theatrics, really.
Oh, yeah.
It's bullshit. Yeah. I don't know. I do think that maybe out of that sort of situation in Europe, more and more, I noticed that the Greek people are sort of blaming, resisting the austerity measures on the grounds that the big fat bankers are getting richer out of this. Yes, but what's happening is I think people will probably start to look at the financial system
in a serious way.
And that's why I think your message, even though I don't really fully understand it, might hold foot.
The message, yes.
The message that there is a basic flaw in the financial system.
Not people, but the system. And people reacting to a system. Anybody got their reading glasses on? Is that
I have my reading glasses on. Joe, old bastard. Boy, look at you. Italian suit and that ever-growing expensive paunch. The front bench has done wonders for you. So, glad you accepted the invitation to my little old dinner party. Better than a tea party, eh? I've placed you opposite that flirtatious socialite you have an eye for. And as my special guest, you're sitting next to me. I just want to tell you how lucky we all are in mining, in having someone of your caliber and integrity in that industrial development, quote, portfolio. Your opposite number in the shadow ministry, you wouldn't want as a shadow. The smirking little sycophant, ingratiating himself with the big end of town one minute, highly critical and negative of anyone, of any of your initiatives on the floor of the house. Joe, this nation has a really great future if we play the game right. And thank God there are people like yourself with balance and reliability who can walk that tightrope between the Greens and lefties and the like, and the people who really get things done. Men like you play a big part in securing that future to our in-ground resources, as long as we don't leave them there too long, and ministers like Joe I raise a toast. Three cheers for Joe.
From great austerity, raining down from above.
I'm standing here in front of Lenin's bust, and I was always very curious about the fact that maybe he has the answer. What went wrong with Marx?
Is no to austerity.
Too much austerity too quickly.
That the voters have gone against austerity. No to more austerity.
Austerity can no longer be inevitable. The austerity pact is non-negotiable. Austerity showdown. Europe's austerity pact. Austerity is the only way. Powerful rejection of austerity. Greece is a rudderless ship. Anti-austerity rage. The far left and the far right. Statement against austerity.
Italy, Spain, Portugal. Austerity policies of government cut. Cuts necessary, don't like austerity. It is painful. It's government cutbacks. It's joblessness. Keynesians, but there's a message here that Republicans can take away, or those in the Tea Party who are preaching austerity.
The way that the media interests people in finance tends to be by talking about wealth and power and corruption. The news media tend to find that audiences are most drawn in by an appeal to their anger about the financial situation.
Nothing much in it for me going to Parliament financially, only a lot of problems. It's an intellectual pygmy.
How to Stop Queensland Coal Report, which probably came out of Langley in the United States for the CIA, certainly came through the Rockefeller Foundation.
Well, the CIA reported to the President that their role was to ensure the US competitive advantage and economic advantages. That's how you know it's funded by the CIA.
Hi, I'm Chest Rockwell, CIA. This is a little embarrassing, but I love my country. So here goes. I want to offer an official apology to Clive Palmer. What? Clive Palmer. It may surprise some to hear that rather than fighting the war on terror, the war on drugs, or the war on all the other important and nasty things, we've instead been focusing our attention on Australian businessman Clive Palmer and his child mining business. What? Mineral mining business. So we'd like to... God, this is hard. See, we don't do this very often. We'd like to offer an apology. You were right all along, Clive. You are the CIA's number one priority. We even mentioned you in our secret briefings to President Obama. You are so important to us, you have your own code name, CP. Sometimes, we just say C. Once, just made a cuss sound. That was enough. We really thought that the best way to protect our national security was by secretly helping local Australian environmental groups protect the Great Barrier Reef. But you saw right through us, Clive. So please, accept this unprecedented apology. The CIA knows when it's been outclassed. And please, let us know if there's any regime change we can help you with in the future. God bless you, Clive, and God bless America.
This was Kaput Radio with Coffee Shop Talk. You heard Graham, Helmut and me. Also, local indigenous artist Kaliba with Trials of Fire. And the local lunatic hill mob with Don't Knock the Bin. I think you got the metaphors and phrasings of a 99% marginalization happening. I'm sure we will struggle on with the present finance system and its present global ramifications for another while more. My name is Martin, and I'll say goodbye for now. Details of this show and other shows of the Kaput X Radio series can be found at radioforall.net.